Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Yes, you are. Episode 150, TalkNorth.com, Strom Sports Show. Steven Strom here. Great to have you in. Happy Friday, everybody. We have Justin Gard joining us in just a few minutes, the producer of Dan Barrero's Bumper to Bumper program on KFAN. We get into the state of Minnesota sports. We get a little bit into the nerd talk of just talk radio right now and how KFAN continues to dominate the landscape of terrestrial radio, where a lot of local markets, man, like it's tough. It's really tough to get good ratings, but KFAN continues to dominate. So we'll have Justin on in just a few minutes here. Again, TalkNorth.com. Big shout out to my producer, Braden Morton, as always. So we're sort of in a weird spot right now with Minnesota sports. We have two teams in an offseason, one team that we wish was in an offseason, and we have a new season coming ahead with football. We've got the Wolves in the Wild who are in their offseason. We've got the Twins who, boy, we wish they were in their offseason right now because their season has been an absolute disaster. And now you have a new season, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. So all the focus has shifted towards the Minnesota Vikings, and that's what we're going to start with today. And before we get into some of the additions, and I'm very pleased with how the Vikings addressed their secondary, and we'll get into those moves, but I did want to talk a little bit about Kirk Cousins off the field. Kirk Cousins, and I think a lot of people can agree with me on this, sometimes you wish Kirk Cousins would go out there, kind of be like Tom Brady emotionally, get in someone's face and say, let's go, let's get this thing going. Going into a huddle, maybe getting someone fired up, getting a first down, giving a little pump fist or a fist pump, whatever it may be. But that's never been Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins has always been praised for his even keel sort of personality. He's never going to get too high. He's never going to get too low. But if you're paid like Cousins, sometimes organizations expect you. Maybe players on your team think that money changes people. If you're Kirk Cousins, you're making the most money on this team, you might have the authority to look at a guy like Adam Thielen and say, no, you need to do this. And that's never been Kirk Cousins. And I know people get annoyed with that. I'm one of them. A couple years ago, they were playing Philadelphia. You had a defensive end or a defensive player for the Eagles come out and say, I don't respect Cousins. He's this, that, and the third. And Cousins came out and absolutely torched Philadelphia. And a reporter asked Cousins, hey, what do you think now after you had this game? What would you have to say to this guy? And he's like, nothing. I didn't hear anything. And we know he's lying. We know that he heard something. But that's never been Cousins. And that's always bothered people. It's always bothered fans. But situations like Wednesday are the reason why even-keeled Kirk Cousins is paid the way he is and doesn't have the drama that these other organizations are facing, a la the Packers right now. What am I alluding to? After practice, Kirk Cousins goes to do his presser, and Chris Tomlinson, who I really like from the Pioneer, first question, right? He's like, oh, Kirk, I hope everything's good. Hope your offseason was good. Yeah, it's all side talk. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. What do you think about Kellen Mond being drafted in the third round? Are you going to mentor him? And Cousins calmly answers and said, I think Kellen Mond's doing a really good job. He's picking up the playbook pretty well. He's doing some nice things. On to the next question. And I know that might not seem like a big deal, but it is, because I've seen quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger, a couple years ago when the Steelers picked Mason Rudolph in the third round, and they asked him, hey, Big Ben, what do you think about this? Are you going to mentor him? I'm not going to mentor him. I'm kind of surprised they took a quarterback. I thought we were in win-now mode. And all it's drama. It's commotion. It's, okay, oh my gosh, PR nightmare. GM, what's going on? Head coach, what are you doing with my guy? You never have to worry about that with Cousins. You never do. And at times, I think we all want Cousins to pump his chest, to get fired up, to show us something. Is there anything in there? But these are the moments where you sit back and say, well, I'm glad Kirk is the way he is. Because here on a Friday, we got nothing. There's no drama coming out of Minnesota. There's no commotion between Kellen Mond and Kirk Cousins. There's not media running to the microphone and saying X, Y, and Z. This is why the Vikings need to do this, and this is why Mond is angry at it. None of it. And this is why we love Kirk Cousins. is because he doesn't feed into it. He doesn't care. He's been pretty consistent about it. So I have to give some props to Kirk Cousins, and we get on him a lot, sometimes for his play on the field and sometimes for the stuff off the field. But in this moment, let's give him props. Let's notice, hey, this could have been ugly, but he made sure it wasn't going to be ugly because the even-keel personality never allows anything to poison the locker room. And the Vikings are in a really good spot this year. We know how the track record goes. Mike Zimmer makes the playoffs and he misses. He makes, he misses. That's how it's his entire coaching career with the Vikings. Last year they missed. This year, according to the statistics, this is the year the Vikes get to the playoffs. And I know there's a lot of people excited about this year. And I think when you look back on the schedule and you think, man, we could have won that Seattle game. We should have won that Tennessee game. The defense was the worst it's ever been. And let's start with the secondary. That's been a point of contention. And the Vikings went out and they made a lot of great moves, I thought, just shoring up that back end, just band-aiding the back end with Patrick Peterson, Mackenzie Alexander, Xavier Woods, and you still have guys like Cam Dantzler, Harrison Hand, Jeff Gladney. But the most recent signing came last Friday, Breshad Breeland, a deal up to $4 million. He's coming to play corner for the Minnesota Vikings. And I thought that, man, some people are going to sit here and say, Breshad Breeland, Patrick Peterson. These guys are kind of old on the other side of things. When you look at last year's secondary, anything is an upgrade. Anything. It was the worst defense under Mike Zimmer ever. So here's what Breshad Breeland is going to bring to the team. And I have some interesting stats for you guys. The first one, which kind of caught me off guard, was on passes of 20 or more yards, Breeland has allowed only 2 completions on 14 targets for 60 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, one of them being against Tom Brady and the Bucs, and the opponent QBR is 5.4. So you're like, oh my God, we got a steal. Then you go on the other end, on anything up to 19 yards, so 19 or under yards, Breeland allowed 31 completions on 51 targets for 392 yards and gave up all 4 of his touchdowns on anything under 19 yards. He had no interceptions and an opponent QBR of 100.8. So you have 2 opposite ends of the spectrum. You have a guy that if you test him deep, man, you're not getting anything. But anything closer to that, he's allowing a lot. And the QBR of 100.8 is very alarming. Got a couple of theories on this. Number one, he did play for Kansas City. A lot of games for Kansas City maybe are blowouts. Maybe those are numbers that might not match up to what he really brings to the table. We've seen it, right? We've been in situations where the Vikings have been down late, and this is part of the negative about Kirk Cousins. We feel like he checks down and he just tries to get his stats up. That could happen with Breeland. It could. You're up against 30 against whoever, you know, the Jets, and they trot out someone and they're just dinking and dunking, just trying to get their stats up. That could happen. But the whole effect here of the Vikings, they're primed for a big year. It just feels like it. You get Justin Jefferson a full offseason, Kirk Cousins back here in a similar offense with the son now, Gary Kubiak's son, as the offensive coordinator. You've got Mike Zimmer who went out. He got humbled last year. He goes out and gets these corners. You're hopefully praying you're going to get Danielle Hunter back. The Vikings only had 23 sacks last year. 23. Their leading sacker was Yannick Ngakoue. Guy wasn't even on the team past October. This Viking team is primed to make a big season happen. And you look around the division, the Lions ain't cutting it. The Bears ain't there yet. And the big thing, and this is our next last topic before we get to Justin Guard, the Green Bay Packers. Let's not be naive to this. Let's not play stupid on here. I'm bad authenticity. Listen, me, you, everyone knows here. Aaron Rodgers isn't in a Packer uniform week one, and he's not playing for the Pack. This is the Vikings division to lose by 5 games. I mean, they should cakewalk to the NFC North, bearing no injuries. Okay, barring no injuries, they should cakewalk to an NFC North championship. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So we'll end here with Rodgers, and I think there's really, we can speculate and we can ask all these questions, but I think the number one question that I'm asking myself Is Aaron Rodgers, at 37 years old, content with walking away from the game of football? I was looking at some of his career earnings. To this point, Rodgers has earned almost $250 million in 16 seasons as an NFL quarterback. Is money the thing that's going to push Rodgers back? No. Rodgers can retire right now and be more than fine. Is it getting that second ring? Is that what's going to push him back? But I think the biggest one, as I just said, is Aaron Rodgers at 37 content with walking away from the game of football? His legacy is probably already established. Everyone, I think, for the most part, understands why Rodgers is upset. You draft Jordan Love. You didn't expect him to have an MVP year last year. He wants to get X amount of money. He wants X amount of years. The Packers have other plans. It's a bad situation. If you're a Packer fan right now, it is a bad freaking situation. And it's a dream situation for everyone in that division because they've waited a very long time to get that man out of that division. It's been 16 long seasons for the Bears, Vikings, and Lions. And no one wants to see Aaron Rodgers leave that division more than me and you. And even I'm just trying to think, I'm trying to play devil's advocate with you, but, you know, people talk about San Fran. Do you want to go to San Fran and play in a division with Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and now Matthew Stafford? That's where you want to go? You want to play against those quarterbacks? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hearing stuff about Denver. Oh, you want to be in a division with Patrick Mahomes? Come on. I think it's Green Bay or that's it. I don't think there's any in between. I don't see him getting traded. I think it's either he hangs up that number 12 jersey or he goes back to Green Bay. And some of the financials that come with him skipping out, if he's not there by late July, he's required, or the Packers are required, to fine him $50,000 a day. That's where we're at right now with Aaron Rodgers. Will he come back, and will he be that starter come September 12th? I think we all pray and hope that it's not. But this is the closest that we've seen from a breakup. As far as Rodgers and the Packers go, this is as bad as it gets. This is as bad as it gets. And I'm reading reports from guys like Rob Dombrowski, who's come on this show, tweeting out about Jordan Love and the struggles. Oh, man. No one wants to see that. More than me and you. None. Nobody. Nobody wants to see it struggle more than us, Viking fans. Nobody. They have been so gratuitous. I mean, so freaking fortunate to have Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And to be honest with you, the fact Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl ring, that's got to irritate him. It has to. But that's for another time. Justin Gard, he's going to join us. We get into his tennis career. I mean, an elaborate tennis player. Unbelievable. Back-to-back state champ. We'll get into a little bit about his playing days. We'll do some, if you had to trade a rookie, Edwards, Jefferson, or Kirill, who are you trading? All that coming up next year on the Strom Sports Show. All right, Justin Gard is with us now. He's the producer for Dan Barrero on the Bumper to Bumper program on KFan. He also is a sideline reporter for Gopher Football. It's great to have you on today, Justin. Steven Strom here. How's everything going?
Good, man. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for asking.
Of course. Now, I was doing, you know, I like to do my research here. I read you were quite the tennis player back in the day, won in back-to-back Class 2A single championship since 2000, 2001, and a team state championship in 98 and 2000. I guess my first question for you were you a board guy or a McEnroe guy growing up?
I'm not that old. You're aging me. Yeah, if I had to pick, I mean, McEnroe probably. I kind of grew up, I was actually an Agassi guy. And if you can see here, I'll just show you right here. Here's my guy. This is right up. I don't know if you can see my guy.
Oh,
Andre,
that's
right
sweet.
There.
How about that? So, for the audio audience, he's showing me Andre Agassi. That's insane. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's my guy, Andre. So he was my guy. He was my idol. He, I mean, sadly, you know how when you're a kid, you have these sports idols. He was number one far and away on the tennis side. And then there were some basketball guys sprinkled in. But yeah, I grew up in the Agassi, Sampras, Jim Courier, Michael Chang, David Wheaton, Minnesotan. Mm-hmm. Who actually grew up about 3 miles from where I'm talking to you right now. And I got to know him and his brother, John, and all that. So that was my era. Those are my guys. But Andre's my guy. Clearly, I'm 38 years old. I still got a picture with him.
Hey, listen, like, I didn't mean 22. To lowball the age. I was just going out and saying, because usually, you know, I guess that's the equivalent of someone asking me, are you a Magic or Bird kind of guy? I apologize for that.
No worries. I'm not offended. Trust me. I look a lot older than I am. But I came in. I mean, I watched Board play. I watched McEnroe play. I watched Connors play. They were kind of at the tail end of their career. You know, 91 U.S. Open when Jimmy Connors made the semifinals when he was about my age now, I guess, 38, 39 years old. That's one of my early tennis memories. So I'm down with all those guys.
Very awesome. You still play or no?
I'm just getting back into it, Stephen. Very, very. I played about a week ago. There's a kid I played with in high school that is on one of these local USTA teams, and he's been bugging me for a while to have a team that's like 5 minutes from my house. So I had no excuses really to not play. So it's good. It's good to be back out there and hopefully I continue it.
You know, it's funny. I interned for Chris Mad Dog Russo a couple of years ago and he is really big tennis into tennis. Huge tennis guy.
Yeah.
And that was very cool hearing the stories about him. So Justin Gard, back-to-back class 2A single championship back in 2001 and 2000. Just being a young broadcaster, I love picking people's brains about their path and how they got to where they at. So if you wanted to share with just the audience, we've got a younger audience and then we've got an older audience. But for my young broadcasters like myself, I love to hear the story and how you got to where you're at.
Sure. The station I work for, KFAN, went on the air, I want to say 1990. And that's basically when I started listening to it. I was the kid who, you know, when your parents are driving you around after school, they were listening to the Fan and it had just gotten on the air. And so my dad listened to it, but more specifically, my mom listened to it. You know, my dad traveled a lot for business, so he was gone quite a bit. And so I was always in the car with my mom and my mom loves sports. And so she was always listening to KFAN. And so when I was like 8 or 9 years old, it sounds like talking to you, Stephen, pretty much the same track, right?
Well,
like
mine was WFAN in New York.
100%. So you grow up and I just thought like, what a cool job. How do I do that? And so, because I love sports. I played all the sports through high school and a little bit into college. And then it's like, all right, how do I get there? And so the Fan was always where I wanted to work. And, you know, I worked with Dan Barrero, as you mentioned, like that's who I grew up listening to. That's who I grew up
reading.
That's
awesome.
So I was very lucky in that I just became very, very one track mind of, okay, how do I do this? And then, you know, the simplest path back then, it's a little complicated now, is, you know, you get an internship and then hopefully never leave. And that's really what I did. I got an internship and for that 6 or 7 months, that was what I did. I mean, I basically dropped out of college because I got offered a job as a part-time board op, maybe 6 or 7 months into it.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that's why I'm going to school. You know, I'm here. They offered me a
Might
job.
As well.
Like I need to make a run out of this. And so, as I've since gone back to college a couple of years ago to try to finish up, but so that was it. I mean, just got an internship starting with Common Man noon to three. Worked with Chad Hartman a lot. Worked with Barrero a lot. And then just every step, I was basically just here every time a job opened up, and have been lucky to, I guess, almost 19 years later since I started my internship, I'm still here. So that's kind of the path. I've never had a real job interview. Because the internship was my, you know, as an intern, like a lot of times, especially some places are just dying to find interns and people that'll help them out. And so I didn't really have like a formal interview. It was, here's my resume. And at the time, it was basically what you just mentioned. I played tennis in one state. That was like my resume.
You had the athlete card. You could show the athlete card.
I played high school basketball, you know, captain, all that stuff. Like that was seriously my resume. Like I had like taught tennis lessons for a job. So, but it was just get your foot in the door. I mean, for any job, for any industry, my biggest advice is just get your foot in the door somehow, some way, and then make yourself valuable. And I feel like I did that. And that's why, you know, almost two decades later, I'm still here.
And being at KFAN, we'll get into it in just a second, but just radio right now, it's just so tough to get into. It's very saturated. You know, it's so hard to just get any foot in the door. So when you can, like Justin's talking about, you take it and you go with it. Speaking of KFAN, I follow Aaron Gerleman on Twitter and he'll put out the ratings. I mean, no, Justin, I mean, every single month, what has made KFAN just really explode here and continue this dominance?
Well, that's our hype man, Aaron Gleeman. You know, we don't pay him to be the hype man, and we love him because he can. It's very arrogant if we say that. You know what I mean?
Of course, you're not supposed to brag about yourself. You're supposed to let someone brag about you.
Exactly. So we're passive aggressive about it. We just retweet Gleeman like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool. Oh, funny. Aaron stumbled upon these ratings. That's great. I mean, to answer your question, I mean, the longevity of the people, the longevity of the hosts. I mean, I think what's made the Fan successful is, like, you know, I'm the first generation, I think, that grew up listening to it. And then since then we've had a lot more, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot more people. We get a lot more stories now of people that grew up listening. So these guys have been around. I mean, we're the hosts have been around forever. Barrero's been around forever. Common's been around forever. Our youngest show, you know, the Power Trip Morning Show, they're approaching two decades, you know? So I just think people are used to us. I just think people are accustomed to us. And I think that's why people like it. Obviously, when we switched to FM over a decade ago, that was a big change. You know, I give our company a lot of credit. Like we were, you know, early on, you know, we started podcasting in 2005. You know, I still remember like the first time we put a podcast on the air, I was producing the 9 to noon show. It was Wally Zerbiak with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like that's back then it was just, if you find a good segment, like people might want to listen to that later. Like it was such a weird concept back then. But so our audience was like trained along the way, like, hey, if you missed it, it's podcastable. And so right. We did that in 2005, went to FM in 2011. And that was obviously big because, you know, a lot of stations now are jumping over to the FM side because AM is a little tricky for young people.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, the hosts have been around, we're familiar. And I think our company and our bosses specifically, we have really good bosses, which I've learned is not the case all over the country for different radio groups. Locally, we have tremendous bosses that I think kind of saw the future a little bit. So like podcasting wasn't new to us. You know, FM obviously was a big deal. And we're just lucky that, you know, we have great partnerships with the Vikings and the Gophers and the Wild. And we've had the Wolves at times and we have great relationships, you know, around town. All the people that work for the teams have been around for a long time as well, too. So we've got really good relationships with people, I feel like. And that's why it works.
We're getting to know Justin Gard here. And just to piggyback on what you were saying, you know, especially because I'm 23, but, you know, 16 to, I would say, 23, 24, 25, they get into their car now. And the first thing that they do is plug in their phone to either listen to music or listen to podcasts. So I hope radio sticks. I like seeing the ratings. It gives me some sense of like, all right, radio's still going to be around here. I just hope that we figure out a way to keep it alive.
Well, I think the one area that it'll be okay, I think, is the talk side of it. Like, because I agree with you, and we hear that all the time. Like, we have a lot of people that just listen to our podcast, like, whenever they want to. That's the beauty of it. They should. I mean, we should be wherever they want to be. It's, yeah. I think it's weird when radio people, like, and I'm a radio traditionalist. Like, I love it, you know? Yeah. Like, I love it's just, to me, it's the greatest. It's the most intimate. It's the most relationship-driven, like, I'm the kid that grew up listening to Kevin Harlan on The Fan calling Wolves games when I was 7, you know, like just falling asleep to that. So I'm a romantic about radio, but I'm also realistic that like they're not everybody is. But I think just the local sports in particular, because people have such romance for their teams, I guess. I think it's got a chance to stick around, obviously, if we move with it. And make ourselves available in the other ways. Cause I think there's a place for all of it.
You know,
I think because things have always changed. I mean, you can go back to 1920 and read about how radio was going away, you know, or 1935 when, you know, 40s when TV came, that was going to be the end of radio. Like, I think there's a place for all of it. And I think you just have to be where everybody is.
All right. We'll do some sports now with Justin Gard. Let's first do, I'll pump my chest a little bit. Let's do, I tweeted out something a couple of weeks ago, and the Common Man actually read it over the air about who would you trade if you were, the rookies in Minnesota. If you had to trade one of these guys, who would you trade? Ooh. Real the Thrill, Anthony Edwards, Justin Jefferson.
Ooh, man.
I know. And how about Common Man? I give him credit, and Brandon, they went on and they said, I read this tweet from this Strom kid and they actually had a pretty good discussion here. So
that's,
I don't
a
know
good
if
question.
You heard the segment.
No.
I'll tell you who they picked, but I wanted to hear Justin Gard's response first.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trading Kirill. I don't think I'm trading Ant. You know, I don't want to trade Jefferson, but I feel like that's the answer. I feel like that's the play. It's definitely not Kaprizov.
No.
I mean, they've waited
Kaprizov's
forever.
Untouchable.
Yeah, they've waited forever for a guy like him. He was so electric from literally the jump, the first game in Los Angeles when he scored the overtime game winner. Like, he's changed the franchise, hopefully. You got to at least see that through. And I like Ant. I know he was very polarizing this year on whether, you know, they should have taken Ball or is he really that good? Like, I'm willing to see that through a little bit. I think I just like his whole vibe. I like his approach. I like his attitude. It's clear that his teammates are kind of on board with him too, which I think is important. So I don't think I can trade Ant either. I don't want to trade Justin Jefferson. He was unbelievable, but I feel like that's got to be my answer. I feel like Kirk's going to have to find somebody else. I feel like they're going to have to hand it off to Dalvin. In this scenario, I'm going to have to trade Justin Jefferson. I don't want to at all, but I certainly can't trade 97, which is what I call him, because I think that's what he is. I can't trade Kaprizov, and I'm not ready to trade Ant either.
I think when you look at this, and it's unfair because we love all these guys. I think they all, they're so different in so many different ways. But one of the things you have to look at, I think, is a guy like Justin Jefferson. He gets the least amount of time on the field, right? You would think, you know, let's just think of ice time versus minutes on the court versus snaps. You know, Justin Jefferson in this Vikings offense could see the ball on 5 or 6 targets the way they like to play.
Right.
So I think from that standpoint, I think just logically, you're probably going to have to lean towards Jefferson.
Well, it's been, and historically, it's been a lot easier for the Vikings to find really good receivers than it has been for either the Wolves and
That's a good point.
Like, I mean, I just think about Thielen. I think about Diggs, obviously Moss for my generation. You know, I was 16 when he came here. Like, you have Chris Carter. Like, there's, it appears there's, and the last two drafts, everybody says are the greatest wide receiver drafts ever, back to back, right? So it appears there's other good wide receivers that you can find, but the Wild have never had a Kaprizov, and the Wolves hopefully you know, can keep building around Ant and Cat and everybody else.
All right, let's do Vikings here. Going into the offseason, one of the positions that they needed to fill was that back end of the secondary. They go out, they get Patrick Peterson, Xavier Woods, Mackenzie Alexander is back, and then Breshad Breeland. Where are you at right now with the secondary? Do you feel a lot better? And I know people will be like, oh, well, these guys, some of them are cast offs, whatever. But if you look at the secondary from last year, anything right now is an upgrade.
Well, that's the key, Stephen. Yeah, it's faint praise, you know, that they had to be better because it was so bad last year. And really, and a lot of that's explainable too. Like, I'm pretty bullish on the Vikes this year, just because I do believe Zimmer defensively. Like, I think he's got a long enough track record. Obviously there've been dips. Last year was atrocious, but it's very easy to look. I mean, there's reasons why. You can call them excuses, but sometimes it's just reality. Like, they lost a lot of players defensively. I mean, starting with Danielle Hunter, which is still their, you know, that's their biggest concern now moving forward, right, is what's going on with him. So that's, you know, we're all having fun here, as I'm sure you can imagine, with the Aaron Rodgers deal in Green Bay. the Vikings have their own issue in that regard. Now, he's not as important as Aaron Rodgers, but Danielle Hunter, you know, with you not being around and maybe wanting a new contract and all those things, like, they're going to have to figure that thing out. But in terms of your question, in terms of the secondary, yeah, it was clear they got too cocky. Zimmer got too cocky about his own work as a secondary guy.
Let his ego get in front of him a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? I give him credit for acknowledging it and saying, all right, we can't do what we did last year. That clearly isn't going to work when they let all those guys go, when they let Rhodes go, and they let Alexander go, and they just basically started over. You know, you've also got the Jeff Gladney legal situation, which is ridiculously serious. And, you know, they're probably going to need even more corners as we go here. So I would just say the signal that Zimmer and everybody sent with what they've done this offseason is that we made a mistake last year by going so young. And so you have the mistake, then you have the stuff you can't really control, like Daniil, like Barr getting hurt, like Kendricks getting hurt,
right,
like Michael Pierce opting out. You know, typically there's not a lot of teams that can overcome bad decisions and bad luck. And I think the Vikings had a combination of both of those last year. And that's why their defense was absolutely dreadful. I happen to think it's going to be better, obviously, than it was a year ago.
It's not going to be worse. I pray to God it won't be worse.
Yeah, it can't be worse. It's impossible to be worse. And the offense was actually pretty solid last year for the most part. So I'm fairly optimistic about, you know, how the Vikings are going
to
be.
Well, I think that it's fair for you to be bullish on this team for a couple reasons. Number one, you look back at that year, there's at least two games that I can name just off the jump. I just wrote them down. The Seattle game where Alexander Mattison was in the hole. They probably should have won that game. And then the Tennessee game. I mean, Gustkowski has like 6 field goals. And, you know, you think about this season and you think, well, that could have been 2 wins. All of a sudden, you might be in the wild card or whatever it may be. And then as far as Danielle Hunter goes, I mean, the Vikings missed that tremendously. 23 sacks last year, Justin. It was the 5th worst in the NFL. I mean, they didn't have any pass rush, which I think it definitely affected the back end of everything else.
No question. Yeah, and here's my favorite stat about that is, you know, Yannick Ngakoue led the team in sacks, and he was gone by October, right? I mean, that's when I think it was October. I don't remember the date, but he was the sack leader. He was the sack leader, and as they played like 10 more games, he just remained the sack leader. Like, that tells you, I think, everything you need to know about the pass rush or lack thereof. And, you know, we had Andre Patterson, the defensive coordinator, on with Barrero every week, and, you know, he's talking about it every week. He's like, look, he's not making excuses, but he's like, when you don't have Anthony Barr, it's going to look different. When you don't have Kendricks, it's going to look different. When you don't have Daniil, it's going to look different. We just traded Ngakoue. Like, he's working, you know, DJ Wonnum had the biggest sack of the year against Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. Like, that's like the sack I can remember from the season. You know what I mean? Like, I can literally remember like one of the few sacks they had, because that's how rare they were.
Justin Gard with us, the producer for Dan Barrero on the Bumper to Bumper program. Last one for you. Let's do the Rodgers BS meter. Where are you at right now? Are you starting to buy that come September 12th? Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be in Green Bay? Is he going to be playing for Green Bay? Or are we going to see Jordan Love?
Man, I know what I hope.
What I hope too.
It's just amazing. And like, I prepare myself, like I'm weird this way, Steven. Like I, obviously I grew up a Vikings fan, and it's just better for everybody when the Vikings do well around here. Like just everything's more fun, work's more fun. Life's more fun.
Life's
Vikings
more fun,
are clearly the number one, team in the state, but I always prepare myself for something bad happening, 'cause I'm a Minnesota sports fan.
Why wouldn't you?
A year ago, I started preparing in November that Green Bay is going to host the NFC Championship game and probably go to the Super Bowl, 'cause that's where it was trending. And so I've prepared myself mentally for that eventuality, and thank God it didn't work out that way. They had the heartbreak. I did it with Rashad Bateman, the Gopher wide receiver. I thought, I love this kid, loved covering him, helped change the Gopher program a little bit. One of the best players they've ever had. It's going to be really tough if Green Bay drafts him in the first round, and I've got to just, deal with that. Luckily, Baltimore saved
thank
us
God.
There. Yep. I'm doing the same thing here with Aaron Rodgers. Like it seems to me that he doesn't want anything to do with them, but I don't know how it's going to play out. I have no idea how it's going to play out. He's clearly really dug in. Would he sit out a full season? I have a hard time believing he would do that. I don't think he's quite ready to host Jeopardy forever. No. But I just, as a Vikings fan, you got to take these victories as they come, as sad as it is, that it's not, has nothing to do with our team. It has to do with the dysfunction of Green Bay. And I can't believe they let it get to this point and let it get to this spot where he's so mad. Like, it's so hard to get a franchise quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback. They've had two in 30 years, and this one seems completely self-inflicted that he doesn't want to be there.
Right. Yeah, no, it's crazy to me, and I'm trying to think of scenarios in my head. If he goes to San Francisco, you're going up against Russell Wilson. You're going up against Kyler Murray. You're going up against who's the last team in that division? Arizona, and then the Rams.
L.A.,
and then
the Rams. Yeah.
And then if you go to Denver, you're in a division with Mahomes. So it's all kind of jumbled up. I don't know what's going to happen here moving forward, but as we said, we both hope what we know, or at least we want him not to be in Green Bay.
Well, and Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune wrote a good story about it this week. It's like this changes everybody's fortune
everything,
in the division.
Everything.
In the division for sure. Obviously the NFC, like this one move, potential move, unless Jordan Love is, the next great one, which who knows, maybe he is. It'd be ridiculous if they actually pulled this off again, Green Bay, and just moved on to the next great quarterback, but it's possible. Everybody in the division, you can say point blank, if Rodgers isn't playing for the Packers, the Vikings are the favorite, in my opinion, given, I know Chicago is going to be there as well, breaking in probably a rookie quarterback at some point, but that changes, I think it literally changes everything for everyone. And how often can we say that?
Justin, I asked for 8 to 10 minutes. You gave me much more than that. I really do appreciate the time today. Again, follow him on Twitter at JGKFAN, the producer of Dan Barrero on the Bumper to Bumper program. Thanks again for carving out time for me. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate it again.
Did you see my 4-year-old come in here? He was.
I did.
Was
that was
the
like
rap.
The cue. That was a cue. He's like, let's go, Steven. Let's wrap this
good.
Thing up.
He knows the deal. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Call anytime. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.